From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books in the New Testament. The focus in this message is the Epistle to the Romans. The Apostle Paul deals with two great themes in Romans, justification by faith in Christ and sanctification. Paul emphasizes that God does not minimize man's sin, but that by his death on the cross, Christ satisfied the righteous penalty of God's law for all who believe in him. This doctrine of justification by faith alone excludes all human works, depending solely on what someone else has done for the salvation of one's soul. This is what makes Christianity totally different from every other religion in the world. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of a message entitled God's Way of Salvation. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the writings of the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled True Heart Energy. The text is 1 Timothy 4, verse 15. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. This is, practically, a promise that by diligent meditation and the giving up of our whole mind to our work for the Lord, we shall make a progress which all can see. Not by hasty reading, but by deep meditation we profit by the Word of God. Not by doing a great deal of work in a slovenly manner, but by giving our best thought to what we attempt, we shall get real profit. In all labor there is profit, but not in fuss and hurry without true heart energy. If we divide ourselves between God and mammon, or Christ and self, we shall make no progress. We must give ourselves wholly to holy things, or else we shall be poor traders in heavenly business, and at our stock-taking no profit will be shown. Am I a minister? Let me be a minister wholly, and not spend my energies upon secondary concerns. What have I to do with party politics or vain amusements? Am I a Christian? Let me make my service of Jesus my occupation, my life work, my one pursuit. We must be in and in with Jesus, and then out and out for Jesus, or else we shall make neither progress nor profit, and neither the church nor the world will feel that forceful influence which the Lord would have us exercise.
Not to be all the soon be seen.
From time to time, here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. All of these video clips have been available on the LTBS radio website, but we are now making available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of it free of charge simply by requesting it. You may email ltbs at freepres.org, that's ltbs at freepres.org, or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns.
It's interesting in this book of Romans that in a peculiar way and for a peculiar purpose that I'm not now going to try to expound, but the Apostle Paul deals with how the gospel treats two things. Now, they're very closely related things, but he shows how the gospel deals with our sins, plural. But then he goes on to show how the gospel deals with our sin, singular. You see, the wrath of God is revealed against ungodliness. That's the root sin. And it's revealed against unrighteousness. That's the fruit sins. And the wrath of God is against both. This gospel, therefore, is not covering over man's sin in the sense of simply denying its existence or denying that it's as bad as other scriptures paint it. No, no. Romans 1 is every bit as devastating and even more so in some ways in its description and its denunciation of sin as Isaiah chapter 1, where Isaiah speaks from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, there's no soundness. They're just wounds, bruises, and putrefying sores that have neither been mollified nor bound up with ointment. It's a picture of a total depravity. Romans chapter 1 is just as plain and just as clear in its denunciation of sin. Let me tell you, my friend, God does not, understand this, God does not pardon sinners by going easy on their sin. The second reason I say this, salvation satisfies the justice of God, is because, taking full note of man's sin, the gospel tells how Jesus Christ paid the penalty for that sin. The propitiation of Romans 3:25, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation. What does that mean? That propitiation is a sacrifice to appease the wrath of a sin-hating God by bearing all the fury of that wrath. I've often quoted to you the words of the old-time preachers. I honestly couldn't tell you who originated the statement. It has always stuck with me as the simplest way of showing the absolute sufficiency of the sacrifice of Christ. Throughout the Old Testament, you have pictures of Calvary. Morning and evening, and every special occasion, you have a lamb or a goat or a bullock, and they're placed upon the altar. And in Israel, the air was always thick with the reek of burning flesh. And every time you would visit the altar, something was inevitably true. What was it? Every time the fire consumed the sacrifice. But we come to Calvary, and the Lamb of God is stretched upon the altar, and the fire of the wrath of God burned in all its fury. This time, the sacrifice consumed the fire. Jesus Christ satisfied the wrath of God. That's why the apostle could say, there is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because in Christ, the fire of the wrath of God has burned itself out. There is no fire, no wrath. In Christ, he satisfied the justice of God. And then the third thing about this righteousness of God, its source is in God, it satisfies the justice of God, and its substance is the actual obedience of Christ. The substance of this righteousness is not what I do, but what Christ did. Romans chapter 5, 17 to 19 will show you this clearly, that by his obedience we are made righteous. Some few months ago, I preached to you from that great text in 2 Corinthians 5:21, which sums it up so beautifully. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That God's righteousness should become ours, imputed to us, the actual obedience of Christ. The actual merit of Christ. That's the substance of this righteousness. And I want you to see, my friend, this God righteousness is my righteousness. It's your righteousness as believers in Christ. So that now we stand before God righteous not partially righteous, not even mostly righteous, but entirely, totally, irrevocably righteous in the sight of God. Perfectly righteous as Christ, because Christ is our righteousness. He has made unto us righteousness. The Ten Commandments have not lost their voice. The thunders of Sinai are as loud as ever. But now there is a voice in the glory that can point to you and me as believers and say, this person stands in the righteousness of a perfect obedience. There is no law unfulfilled. There is no penalty unpaid. These people have my righteousness freely imputed to them. That's the righteousness of God. But then there's the term revealed, the revelation of the righteousness of God. Now notice the importance of this word, revealed. It means it comes from heaven. It means it comes from the outside. It means this righteousness is something totally foreign to man's way of thinking. This is not something that we dream up in our minds. You can very easily prove that. This doctrine of the gospel is in total, absolute opposition to the teaching of every religion in the world. There is not a religion, be it heathen, Judaistic, or professedly Christian, Roman Catholic, Protestant, Greek Orthodox, there is not a religion in the world that naturally agrees with this doctrine. That is why the battle for the Reformation has to be fought in every generation. That's why there has to be this prophetic voice that constantly even calls evangelical Christianity back to its central root and heart. This is something that is totally foreign to man's way of thinking. The gospel is about a righteousness revealed. Revealed. Now the word revealed, of course, does mean made known to our minds and to our hearts. But it means more than made known. This revelation, I believe, is what scholars like to call a dynamic revelation. This is a revelation that is moving dynamically and actively to bring us into acceptance with God. In other words, it's not merely presenting the information about justifying grace. It is applying justifying grace to our heart. That's the revelation. Time forbids that I follow that through in much detail. But as I've somewhat pointed out in reading Romans 3, this revelation was historically given, but now, what is that? That's a point in time. What is that point in time? It's the incarnation, the death, the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Romans 4:25 says that we have our justification tied in to the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was delivered because of our offenses. He was raised again because of our justification. And it's therefore being justified by faith. Therefore, on the death and resurrection of Christ. So, it was done in time. But it's done personally and savingly. If you're a Christian here this morning, you can say, thank God, the righteousness of God is revealed not just as a theory, not just as a theology, but it's dynamically revealed to me. Dynamically, the gospel has brought this righteousness to me as a believer. This is revealed, we read in 1:17, from faith to faith. It's wonderful how that one little phrase has caused so much discussion among learned men. What does it mean? Some say it simply means that it's all of faith. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. But if that's all it meant, why on earth did he not just say that? What does it mean, from faith to faith? I think the simplest way is to combine it with a verse in chapter 3, verse 22 that we read. It's unto all and upon all them that believe. Again, is that not just saying the same thing in different words? No, it's not. It's first of all from faith or by faith. This justification is a justification by faith. But it's unto faith. In other words, it is always conferred upon faith. Now, there's a slight difference. I could come to you this morning and say justification is by faith, but that is a far cry from saying that everybody who has faith is justified. Those are two different statements. And in 3:22, the apostle says it is unto those who believe. But it is actually conferred upon all those who believe. So that generally what Romans 1:17 is saying is justification is by faith. But then it particularizes it and it says it is conferred upon every believer. My, what a wonderful truth that is. This is a personal revelation. My, what a truth. It's revealed to me. I didn't work it up. I didn't dream it up. I didn't labor for it. I didn't pay for it. God revealed it. There's the sovereignty of God in salvation. There's the strength and the success of God's grace in salvation. It works effectually. It lightens my darkness. It overcomes my wickedness. And it shows you the special nature of our justification. One revealed to us. Imputed to us, given freely to us, not wrought by us. And the reception of this righteousness, as I've indicated, is by faith to every believer. Notice this, the addition of works for salvation denies the very heart of the gospel. And the results of this righteousness, we have peace with God, Romans 5, verse 1. Peace with God, reconciliation, the enmity gone, we're made nigh to God, we're in fellowship with God. This is the heart of the gospel. It is justification.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening. and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.